This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Wonderful job, you all. Hey, I think we can do better than that. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Wonderful singing this morning. Wonderful, wonderful singing. I don't know about you, but I just thoroughly enjoy it when the Lord comes by and just takes over. Man, there's nothing more that thrills my soul to see people praying together at the altar, giving their all for the glory of God. If that thrills your heart, say amen. Well, I know it certainly does mine. I want you to stand with me this morning and take your copy of God's Word and turn it to Psalms chapter number 1. And we're going to look at chapter number 1 there in its entirety. Psalms chapter number 1. Now, last week we were going to preach this sermon and the Lord come by and just wrecked it, didn't he, huh? He came by and just put a stop to everything and said, I'm going to take over from here. And the Lord preached the sermon last week for us, and what a wonderful service it was. As I was praying for 2023 and what we would start with January, you know, we have a guest coming with us next week. You're going to love Dale Hudson, a tremendous individual, one of the most influential speakers out there today in family ministry and in children's ministry, and he's going to bless your heart and encourage you. In a culture that has gone crazy, he's going to take the Word of God and point moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas to the pages of Scripture and how we can lead the next generation to go forward for the cause of Christ. And so I knew he was coming, and I wanted to dig down into something. And as I thought about digging down into something, I went ahead and just came up with this sermon series, Deeply Rooted in Christ, in 2023. If there's anything that we can be as a church in 2023, it's deeply rooted in the things of Christ. And the Bible talks about this repeatedly, being in Christ. And so I thought, where am I going to start about being deeply rooted in the things of Christ, in the Word of God? And the Lord led me to Psalms chapter number 1 in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. As a result of that," verse 3, "and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Oh, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly," the Bible says, "shall perish." I want you to be seated. We're going to look at this beautiful psalm here this morning that encourages us to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. And I'm simply going to entitle this sermon, in the time that we have, Planted by Living Waters. If there's anything that we can have in 2023, that is a life that is planted by living waters. And by living waters, I mean, of course, the Word of God. So let's pray together. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us today. Don't stop your shouting. Somebody say amen. Certainly don't start doubting. Somebody say amen. You stay with me today. Let's praise the Lord for all that he has done for us. And I guarantee you this, God will change your life from the inside out when you take the Word of God and you apply it to your heart. If you believe it, say amen. Father in heaven, I pray in Jesus' name that you bless the reading of your Word. And we will thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. In his name, a name above every name, a name that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It is in his name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Many of you probably don't recognize the name Hugh Latimer. Latimer, rather, was born in 1485, and he died on October 16th, 1555. Most of you have probably never heard his name, nor do you know anything about his life. Let me tell you a little bit about him this morning. He was a bishop in England during the reign of King Henry VIII. He lived in a time of severe religious tyranny, but he decided that he was going to stand for his biblical worldview. And he would not speak out, nor would he condemn Martin Luther's writings, so he strongly supported the Protestant Reformation. Because of his faith, he was imprisoned for a total of 7 years behind bars because of his faith, after which Queen Mary I condemned him to be burned at the stake. It was on October 16, 1555, that Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, probably two names that's been lost to history to many of you in here, it was on October 16, 1555, that both Latimer and Ridley was brought to their place of execution. According to John Fox in his famous book, Book of Martyrs, Fox said that Ridley arrived at the field of execution first. When Latimer arrived, the two of them embraced, and Ridley said to Latimer, "Be of good heart, brother, for God will either assuage the fury of the flame or else strengthen us to abide it." Can you imagine the tenacity of both of these individuals, the courage and the faith that they had, knowing that just in minutes they were going to die by torture of the flame, but yet they still had faith in God, that God would either do something miraculous and seize the flame, or God would give them the strength to endure to the trying hour that awaits them. Both of them, they say, knelt down before listening to a message from a pastor, which was the custom of that day when you were accused of heresy. A preacher would come out and basically read your rights to you and preach a sermon to you before you would face the executioners. After the sermon was preached and the two stood to their feet, one official began to plead with Mr. Ridley. He said, "Mr. Ridley, if you will revoke your erroneous opinions, you shall not only have liberty so to do, but also your life. If you will not do so, there is no remedy for you. You must suffer." Ridley on that day stood to his feet and looked to his accusers and said, "So long as there is breath in my body, I will never deny my Lord Christ and his known truth. God's will be done in me." After he said that, the blacksmith wrapped a chain of iron around their waist. And when the wood was about Ridley's feet and it was lit, and the flames began to lick his legs and make its way up to his waist, Latimer said something so profound to Ridley that day that still today in 2023, those words from October 16th, 1555 still ring so true today. He looked at the man and said, "Be of good comfort, Mr. Ridley, and play the man." Be of good comfort, Mr. Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust never shall be put out. How can two guys like this face persecution and even the torture of fire and yet still have their faith and their resolve and their confidence in God? How can they say that upon their death they will light a candle which the world will not be able to put out? I believe that they were living by Psalms chapter number 1 and verse number 3, where our text says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." These men were planted deep into the soil of God's word. And because they were planted deep into the soil of God's word, their roots in the confidence of God grew very deep. So no matter what winds of adversity came their way, no matter what storms was going to happen to their life, no matter what persecution or troubles and trials, they were able to stand against the adversity and the winds that blew over their life. They were deeply rooted in the word of God. They were deeply rooted in the confidence of God. They were deeply rooted in the fact fact that there is a God that awaits them, and there's a heavenly home that the Bible calls heaven. So no matter what happens to us here, death becomes a vehicle that transports us here and into glory. Somebody say amen. Now, the needs for roots to grow deep can be seen all around us. All you need to do is look at the natural world. Just consider a tree. Trees have a deep root system. And because of that deep root system, when they do have a deep root system, they are more likely to survive the severe weather and drought and disease as opposed to a tree that has shallow roots. According to environmentalists, a strong root system makes it possible for the tree to flourish and mature, to survive in difficult conditions, to even absorb water and nutrients from the soil to sustain the tree. That deep root system enables a tree to stay upright during the storms and windy days. Those deep roots, they say, will even store up energy and nutrients for times of environmental stress. When you look around in the natural world, you see how the trees endure. In the same way, Christians are called to have roots that are deeply rooted in the things of God. Somebody say amen. You see, when your roots are deeply rooted in the things of God, when you are rooted in Christ, you are rooted in the confidence of God's love and His compassion and His mercy and His grace, you too, like a tree, you're going to flourish and mature. You're going to survive the difficult conditions of life. You're going to be able to absorb all those spiritual nutrients that you need for the soil to sustain the tree. You're going to be able to withstand the stormy days and the windy days because your roots are deeply rooted in Christ. Even when there is environmental stress, when your life is rooted in Christ, no matter what comes your way, you are able to stand. This means that you've got to develop a kind of faith that is not shaken by difficult winds of adversity, nor are they stunned by the wounds of the adversary, nor are you scared by the weakness in your ability. You've got to go beyond the casual, shallow Christianity that prevails today with so many people, and you've got to have your feet rooted, your faith rooted through praying often, devoting yourself to the study of God's Word, living a life of obedience and holiness, connecting with other believers, listen, growing spiritually, giving sacrificially, worshiping intentionally, and even testifying evangelistically. That's what sort of faith that you need in 2023. Just as a strong tree can withstand the storms of life and keep it from falling, I want you to know today that God can keep you from falling. And you may need to hear that today and let those words sink deep into your spirit. God says in His Word, I will keep you from falling. Listen to Jude verse 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory and exceeding joy. God says, I will keep you from falling. The Apostle Peter echoes the same words of Jude in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You know, in 2023, I want our church to make this commitment this morning. I want our church, I want Parkway Baptist, every single member, to decide in their spirit that they're going to have roots that's going to grow deep and strong into God's Word, where our faith, our fellowship, the furtherance of the gospel, and even in the future of our ministry is resilient and strong in 2023. There's no telling what's going to happen in the days ahead. America, our world, it's like a Coke bottle that's been shook up. And at any moment, the cap is going to come off. And when it does, there's going to be all sorts of things that are spewing everywhere. Once the Coke comes out of the bottle, it's very difficult to get it back in. We are all shook up on the inside. You say, what is the world coming to? I'll tell you what the world's coming to. The world's coming to Jesus Christ. The world is coming to Jesus Christ. All the signs are pointing to his appearing. So listen, friend, in 2023, do yourself a favor. Make sure that as a member of Parkway Baptist, that your roots are growing strong and they're growing deep in God's word, that our faith, our fellowship, our the furtherance of the gospel, and even the future of our ministry becomes resilient and strong amidst the adversities of life. This is what our text is talking about in Psalms chapter number 1. Looking at the text this morning, Psalms 1 paints a vivid picture of a blessed man. A man who delights himself in the law of the Lord and he meditates on it day and night. The psalmist shows us that the Bible's not just a collection of rules, rules or even regulations, but also the Bible is a means to govern my life, to guide my life. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. And the psalmist says, he says, the man that delights in the law of God, he's going to be like a tree rooted, deeply rooted by rivers, living waters, getting the spiritual nourishment, getting the things that the tree needs in order to survive. And so as the writer paints this picture of a blessed man and a wicked man, one who delights in the law of the Lord and the other who despises the law of God, he pulls back the curtain and he introduces us to four different types of people. Four different types of people. Number one, he introduces us to the skeptic. Now, the skeptic is an ungodly person. This is a person that has no room for God whatsoever. He is skeptic. He doesn't believe that there is a God. He doesn't believe that there is a heaven or a hell. He's very skeptical about this thing. So in his life, he has no room for God. The skeptic, he is ungodly. But then he talks about the sinner. Now, the sinner is unholy. The sinner is an individual who says that there is no God. That emphatically, there's no God, there's no heaven, there is no hell. Then he introduces us to the scornful. He's not only ungodly and unholy, but he is unruly. This is an individual who not only is a sinner, but also laughs at sin and mocks sin and mocks God. He laughs at the ways of the world. He participates in the ways of the world. He thinks these things are funny. He thinks these things are entertaining. He thinks that man can do his own thing in his own way. So you've got the skeptic who is ungodly. You've got the sinner who is unholy. And then you've got the scornful who's also ungodly and unholy and even unruly. All three of these are in contrast to the saint, the one that is godly, rooted, and obedient to the servant of the Lord. Which one are you this morning? Are you the skeptic? Are you the sinner? Are you the scornful? Or are you the saint who is deeply rooted in the things of God? I want you to note that a rooted believer is a person who is characterized by three things this morning. Number one, he's characterized by being separated from the world. A rooted believer, deeply rooted in the things of God, is characterized by an individual that has said in his heart, I will not be a part of the world. Now, he may be living in the world, but he is not of the world. He may be living here and doing his work and the will of God, but he is not of the world in the sense that he identifies with worldly pleasures. He is a man who is separated from the world. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsels of the ungodly. Now I want you to notice what the text says. Blessed is the man that walketh not. Now the Christian life is compared to a walk. Over and over again in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible compares my life and your life as a believer, compares it to a walk. A walk means progression. As you are moving towards the things of God, you are walking away from some things and you are moving towards some other things. The Bible is replete with this theme. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your vocation wherein you are called. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love. It's talking about progression. Walk in love, as Christ also had loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let me give you another one. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse number 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Over and over again, it's easy to see that the Bible writers compares the Christian life to a walk. And in that walk, it involves progress. They are talking about progress in maturing your Christian faith. Now, every believer in here ought to be maturing their faith. You can't stay at that superficial level of the ABCs of Christianity. You've got to move forward and you've got to progress. And so the writer says that the people God blesses, these are people that are careful in their walk. They are maturing. They are sanctifying their life in the Word and the will of God. They may be in the world, but they are not of the world. They are walking. It's what the Bible tells us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. You may be in the world, but you're not of the world. He said, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You see, my life and your life as a believer ought to be like Abraham's life, whom the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for that city? Somebody say amen. You see, what he's saying, preacher? I'm saying this. To be deeply rooted in Christ, you are a person that is characterized by being separated from the world. Now, a separated life is going to cause a few things to happen. It's going to cause you to avoid a few things. Let me give you three. Number one, you need to avoid the advice of the skeptic. You need to avoid the advice of that skeptic person that does not believe in God. Now listen to me and listen to me well. The world is always ready to give you an answer to your problems. They are always ready to share their advice, right? They're always looking out for themselves, being humanistic and naturalistic in their approach. That is, they would say, hey, if you want to have that abortion, go ahead. It's a woman's right. Go ahead and do that. The world would say, hey, if you want to have that affair, you know, it's just a physical thing between another human being, your family, don't worry about that. Go have that one night stand and everything's going to be all right. Nobody will never know. If you want to look at a little pornography, it's okay. It's not going to damage your mind and stain your spirit and your soul. It's just fine. Do what you want to. You're not hurting anybody. If you want to drink a little booze, it's all right. You know, you can quench your thirst. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about what the Christians say. Don't worry about all that religious stuff. You just do what you want to do. Live a very happy life. I want you to know that the skeptic, the world, they are always ready to give you their advice. But if you want to be a happy and a holy and a healthy believer, you better turn a deaf ear to the counsel of the world. The Bible tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, that is the advice of the ungodly. You've got to avoid the advice of the skeptic. You don't need to listen to the world. You need to listen to the Word. Somebody say amen. Now the world says all roads lead to heaven, and any old religion will do. But let me remind you that the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. I'm not asking you to be a Baptist. I'm not asking you to be a Methodist. I'm not asking you to be a Catholic and try to find salvation in the church. I'm asking you to be deeply rooted in the very person of Jesus Christ. The church will send you to hell. Religion will send you to hell. But Jesus Christ, he'll write your name down in glory. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. He will wash away your guilt and shame, and he will save you. You will be what the Bible calls born again. Somebody say amen. Where old things have passed away and all things are becoming new. The world says any old religion will do. Don't you take their advice. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The world says, well, it's all right to drink that alcohol. Oh, really? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Is not wise. I heard something so disturbing this past week that there are some believers, some people that we know, that they have their own line of wine that they are selling. I don't know what's wrong with us as Christians anymore, why we have blurred the lines and why we are willing to go out of bounds and walk in our Christianity, why we're willing to straddle the fence, why we are willing to go over the parameters of what God has called us to do and walk over here in the filth of the world. I want you to know, friend, if you're going to be deeply rooted in Christ, you've got to be like Latimer and Ridley. You've got to play the man. You've got to be strong in your faith. You can't compromise with the things of the world. You've got to be separated from these worldly things. Somebody say amen. The world says, oh, it's okay to drink. The Bible says wine is a mocker. The world says eat, drink, and party because tomorrow you're just going to die. So just live it up today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You need to avoid the advice of the skeptic. Second of all, you need to avoid the action of the sinner. The Bible says, nor standeth in the way of sinners in our text. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, note the progression. When you begin to believe the skeptic and you listen to their words, you begin to behave like the world. You need to know that what gets in your head can trickle down into your heart. Somebody say amen. What gets in your head is going to trickle down into your heart. So what you believe determines how you're going to behave. If you believe all liquor's all right, then you're going to go ahead and drink liquor with all your buddies and all your friends, ruin your testimony without regard to the Word of God. If you believe that it's a woman's right to murder that little baby growing in her womb, then you're going to be perfectly fine with abortion. If you believe that a homosexual union is just fine, then you're going to condone that and not condemn that as a sinful lifestyle and throw people a lifeline where they can know that God put Adam and Eve together, not Adam and Steve. That a marriage was meant for a man and a woman. Somebody say amen. A man and a woman with distinction. That was God's original order. That was God's original plan. But you need to know what's happening today. We've got it in our head. We've listened to the skeptic. It's burnt in our brain. And because we've got it in our head and we've allowed it into our mind, it's creeping down into our heart. And now because it's in our heart, what we believe is now determining how we behave as believers of Jesus Christ. Avoid the advice of the skeptic. Avoid the actions of the sinner. The Bible says a separated believer lives by Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Not only avoid the advice of the skeptic and avoid the actions of the sinner, but how about avoid the attitude of the scornful? The Bible says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't participate in what they laugh at. Don't participate in what they find pleasure in. Don't participate in the things of the world. Note again the progression. Listen now. You accept the advice. You imitate the action. And now you adopt the attitude. Listen to the progression. You accept the advice. You imitate their action. And now you are adopting to their very attitude. And that's what's wrong in our churches today. You know, the Bible calls us, you know, we're the sheepfold of God. But the problem is the sheepfold of God's become like a common zoo. Amen.
The sheepfold of God has become like a common zoo. We allow anything as long as it brings me pleasure, as long as it doesn't bring anybody else pain. You know, I can live how I want to live in the dark. Nobody sees. Let me remind you that your life and my life is open and naked before God. He sees all and he knows all, and he will bring us into judgment. God calls us to a life of separation. It's like Ridley or Latmire told Ridley, be of good courage and play the man. Do what God has called you to do. Somebody say amen. It boils down to this. Listen, the best way to deal with sin in your life is to simply stay away from it. The best way for you to deal with alcohol is don't drink it. The best way for you to deal with drugs, don't take it. The best way for you to deal with pornography is don't look at it. The best way for you to deal with profanity, don't use it. The best way for you to deal with anger, don't succumb to it. The best way for you to deal with selfishness is don't give in to it. The best way for you to deal with bitterness, don't focus on it. The best way for you to deal with sin is to stay away from it. Somebody say amen. Separate yourself from the world. The Bible says a person that is rooted by those living waters, he's not only separated from the world, but in verse 2, the Bible says he is saturated in the Word. He is saturated in the Word. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now those whom God blesses, they don't find pleasure in sin. They find pleasure in the Word of God. They find pleasure in the Word of God. There's nothing more pleasing to me as a believer to discover something brand new about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To study through apologetics, to study through theology, to read something that I've never seen before or muse or meditate upon that. As a believer of Jesus Christ, nothing brings me more pleasure than to discover something brand new about the Lord. Now, you're never going to get there if you never study. You're never going to get there if you never read your Bible. You're never going to get there if you don't participate in spiritual things. You've got to make sure that as a tree, you are saturating yourself with the water of the Word of God. The Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. James says it this way, that your spiritual victory depends upon you being rightly related to the Word of God. Let me say that again. Your spiritual victory depends upon you being rightly related to the Word of God. Why do I say that? Because of what James said in chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Did you hear that? Be ye doers of the Word. You got to put the Word of God in action. Somebody say amen. So not only are you separated from the world, you are doing your best to saturate yourself with the Word. I love what Dr. Warren Wiersbe said about this in his commentary on the Old Testament book of Psalms. He said, it is love for and obedience to the Bible that brings blessings on our lives. Listen to this. The people God blesses not only read the Word daily, but they study it, memorize it, and meditate on it during the day and night. Their mind is controlled by the Word of God. Because of this, they are led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Let me give you an example. This morning I was getting stuff together, running around, and things got a little chaotic right before we got out here. And I usually pay my tithe through the text. You know, I text my tithe every Sunday. And so usually when I get here the first thing in the morning, that's usually what I do. But I got a little busy not being able to do that. And I'm walking down the hallway, and I was like, I forgot to text my tithe this morning. And I told myself, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. Or I'll do it the next day. And as soon as I told myself that, as soon as I said, oh, you'll just do it tomorrow. You'll do it the next day. You know, don't run back there and go back and get your phone. The very first thing that came across my mind, lay up in store the first day of the week. And the Holy Spirit just kept pounding my mind. You know what I did? Man, I went back to the office, grabbed my phone, pulled it out, and went ahead and sent my tithe in. You know why? Because those that study the Word of God, and I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal, I'm using an example here. Those that read and study the Word of God, when you permeate your mind and your heart by the Word of God, you know what happens? You're controlled by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit literally begins to bring things to your mind to help you to be that person that is saturated with the Word. And when your mind is saturated with the Word, it's going to determine your behavior. So a person that is deeply rooted in Christ, the Bible says they're not only separated from the world, but they do their very best to be saturated with the Word of God that will lead and guide and direct their lives. If you believe it, say amen. Let me give you the last point because some of you are yawning. Curtis, come to the piano, all right? I know you're tired. You've been, you know, praying and getting back here and going back there and coming back here. I know you're tired this morning. Let me give you the last one. Deeply rooted in Christ. What does it mean to be deeply rooted? It means to be separated from the world. It means to be saturated by the Word, but also in verse number 3, situated by those waters. Those living waters that the Bible talks about. I believe that the writer here is referring to a deep, abiding intimacy with God. That your life is so rooted in the Word that it has brought you to those living waters that brings, that sustains you, that helps you, that keeps you, that guards you, that guides you daily in your life. Maybe today you're like a tree who's being beaten down by the wind. Maybe you feel like you don't have the nourishment that you need to sustain the winds and the storms of life. Maybe your roots are a little shallow. I want you to know, friend, that today can be a day that will change your life from the inside out if you will choose to walk away trusting in Jesus Christ. Ask God in 2023 to take the roots of your faith and grow them deep, separated from the world, saturated by the Word of God, and situated by living waters. And the living waters I'm talking about is none other than Jesus Christ. Looking to Warren Wiersbe one more time, he said, the Christian is here compared to a tree, listen now, that gets its water from the deep hidden springs under the dry sands. The world is a desert that can never satisfy the dedicated believer. We must send our spiritual roots down deep into the things of Christ and draw upon the spiritual water of life. Let me ask you today, what are you feeding on? What are you feeding on? If you'll come today and feed on the Word of God, to ask God to grow your faith deep, and begin walking, making progress towards spiritual maturity. There is no telling what God will do in and through a child of God that is solely yielded unto Him. 2023 can be different in every way. I'm talking about miracles and supernatural things.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.